Following the WantaGate saga, this is the reported embezzlement of trillions of dollars, which were targeted to be repatriated into the U.S. Treasury as a result of a very patriotic duty performed by Ambassador Lee Wanta, Treasury agent, CIA, FBI agent, who was appointed by President Ronald Reagan in the early 1980s to begin destabilizing the Russian ruble. In the process of this ruble destabilization, Ambassador Wanta amassed $27.5 trillion, that's with a TR in front, $1 trillion, and this money was under a presidential order 12333, or executive order, as some prefer to call it, 12333, giving permission to stash this money in accounts all over the world. He raised the money by purchasing discount rubles with an initial $150 billion investment given to him through the U.S. Treasury. Now, there is some dispute as to whether or not that money actually came from the Treasury, but it has been reported as such, and both by Ambassador Wanta, at least it was his understanding, as well as through the research of Christopher Story and follow-up documentation. This has been going on for a good 14 years. And it has come to a head because in December of 2005, Ambassador Wanta had worked out a $4.5 trillion settlement with the U.S. government to basically allow them to keep the other $23 trillion. Again, I point out that possibly this money was not authorized to go into the U.S. Treasury, that it may require approval on an international basis, and whether that is through the World Bank or the Bank for International Settlements is yet to be determined. However, Wanta and his counterparts in the U.S. government have been tussling over this money based upon the judgment that came down from Federal Judge Gerald Bruce Lee in December of 2005. Now, the payments to Wanta were to occur in June of 2006 via what is called Treasury Direct Deposit. The Treasury Direct Deposit was to go into a Morgan Stanley account set up for Wanta's Ameritrust Group, Inc. Instead, the money was put into a Bank of America account by the Federal Reserve. Then the money began to take on the appearance and the function of a ping-pong ball being bounced from bank to bank, from Bank of America to Wachovia Bank, then to Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs held on to the money for quite a long time, and then the money ended up with Citibank, keeping in mind, folks, that all the while this money was also being transferred, shipped out to foreign banks as far away as India, North Vietnam, possibly Latvia, Switzerland, the West Indies, and South America. We know from previous reports that Christopher Story had done, and some of the research that I myself have done on this case, that there's tangible evidence that Ambassador Wanta did raise the funds, and that the funds have been obfuscated, taken away from the U.S. Treasury, and basically used as a vehicle for creating phony derivative and hedge fund accounts. If you want to look at the derivative hedge fund market today and its dire straits, you can attribute it to the mirrored accounts. And what that means is that they did not actually possess these assets, but they fictitiously presented evidence that, that, in fact, the government did have possession of this money. And as a result, numerous stock funds were created and traded and profited by certain groups. And mostly the investors that, that bought into these accounts with the promises of returns as high as 500% have been shafted. So we're about to witness the total collapse of our economic system and the total collapse of our stock market on the basis of these fictitious funds. It has spread into the mortgage industry, and there's no speculation about the fact that there are almost some 2 million homeowners who are being foreclosed upon by the end of this month. We're talking about January 2008. Now, the blame is being put on so-called subprime loans put out to people who really couldn't afford the loans, and that may be the case, which is always the case when loans are given out to anyone. Anyone can default on a loan. The problem here is that quite possibly some of these accounts have come about because of the duplication or triplication of the original mortgages. And in other words, banks buy up the mortgages held by other institutions, and by the time they move them two or three times and they go into these foreclosures, if those who are supposedly owning the properties are not aware of the fact that these contracts are now held by outside banks. For example, Deutsche Bank in Ohio. Deutsche Bank presented some documents to the courts in Ohio very recently in the Northeastern District. The judge threw the case out on the basis that they had not given the original contract to the owner of the property, and therefore it could not be proven that they held the mortgage. So they could not foreclose on a property in which they had no proof of legal representation or legal ownership. Now, in the case of the owner of that property, he is also the victim of an act of conversion. So if the amount of money owed, let's say, to the mortgage company is $300,000 and they foreclose on that amount, he is potentially due triple damages for the act of conversion committed by the bank. Well, this particular judge in Ohio, I don't have his name in front of me at the moment, but this is a documented case, and it is going to set legal precedents around the country that, that these foreclosures can be stopped on the basis of the fraud committed by the banks. We are dealing with people who are violating law. They're violating the Constitution. They're violating international law, international banking laws, security laws, and there are some recent developments now that, if confirmed, are going to be earth-shattering, and that's going to bring us to the point of this particular broadcast today. There are lots of things to report on. I'm not going to be reporting on Britney Spears, for those of you who like to tune into the mainstream media. There, you can tune into CNN and hear that nonstop. What's amazing now is a story that came out last night, and I've got to backtrack and tell the listeners about this. Those of you who didn't hear Evident Footprints, which came on the air live at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I divulged a story that was printed on worldreports.org, and that's the website of journalist Christopher Story. He is a geo-financial expert, has been reporting on financial affairs on a worldwide basis for over 38 years, and he has been more accurate than not about a lot of things. Now, there is always the potential that there is some disinformation going about, and so we want to point out that that this has not been confirmed, although it is looking as if we are at the verge of confirming much of the information I'm about to share with the listeners, and which I shared last night. I did preface my comments last night and several times during the broadcast that I do not have absolute proof. Of course, you're not going to hear about this on the mainstream media. So understand that because the media is not reporting it doesn't make it not true. And if you hear this story, which I'm about to disclose, you're more likely to hear some kind of a spin or propaganda on the actual facts behind what I'm about to share. Those of you who are on the BBS site, you're welcome to look at the headline on the index page. That's the home page when you first log on to BBS. At the top, there is an MP3 and a link to the posting at TNT News that Don Newsom was so kind to post this morning regarding the update to this story. Now, let's get down to business. And I'm going to be doing a little bit of reading here, so I apologize. It's probably the best way to do honor to the story and give Christopher Story the due credit for coming out with this information. He has been the mouthpiece for Ambassador Wanta, Michael C. Cottrell, his vice president treasurer. And basically, he's a Brit who is standing up for all of America and reporting this news. We have a right to know that this money is being embezzled. It's being kept from the Treasury. It could be earning $200 billion a day just on the $1.575 trillion tax that Ambassador Wanta was ready to pay. All in all, this money has accrued a value of about $75 trillion sitting in the banks overseas. The derivatives accounts and the hedge fund accounts that have been mirrored off of the original $27.5 trillion are probably in excess of $600 trillion. So you are about to witness a collapse of the economic system, probably on a worldwide basis, unless something is done in an emergency. Okay, the headline, and this was from yesterday's worldreports.org. Treasury Secretary Paulson in critical condition after being shot in the chest. Top aide to Vice President Cheney shot dead at close range. 127 people in the United States believed to be on the hit list. Financial brinkmanship leads to the predicted bloodbath. Crisis has escalated way beyond the Wantagate dimension. And this is by, as previously mentioned, Christopher Story, FRSA. U.S. Treasury Secretary Paulson shot in the chest at close range. On or around Friday, the 28th of December, 2007, Henry M. Paulson, Jr., Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, was shot at close range in the chest. He was reported to be in critical condition on New Year's Eve and was thought unlikely to make it overnight. At about 7 p.m. U.K. time on the 1st of January, 2008, Henry Paulson was still alive with the bullet lodged in his chest. Sources stated that he was too weak to be operated upon, which implied that he was thought unlikely to survive. The U.S. Treasury Department's public engagement schedule, published on the official Treasury website by the press department, stated, "No events currently scheduled from December 22nd to January 4th, unquote. Close aide of Vice President Cheney shot dead point blank. On Saturday, 29th, December 2007, a close aide of Vice President Richard Cheney, in his mid-40s, was shot at close range in the chest and died. Actual number of U.S. hit list targets is known, a list of 127 senior people in the United States alone who have been targeted for assassination is reported by reliable sources to exist. A separate list of assassination targets applicable to European perpetrators of financial theft also exists, but the number of individuals on that list is unknown. Bush Sr. arrested and in custody for at least 3 days. President George Bush Sr., a.k.a. 41, or the Godfather, was recently arrested and held in custody for at least 3 days. It is not known whether he is still in custody, but what is known is that Bush Sr. is believed no longer to be a threat, given that his card and other access to stolen funds is now precluded. His accounts were reportedly frozen some considerable time ago. Russians organized the severed horse's head warning. Reports that President George Bush Jr. found a severed horse's head inside his bed at Crawford, Texas, before Christmas are hereby confirmed. The head was severed from one of Bush Jr.'s most prized and cherished horses, worth an estimated $350,000. The editor does not watch films, but knows that a severed horse's head was used in a similar fashion in a film called The Godfather. The severed equine head was placed in the president's bed on the instructions of Russian intelligence, according to sources special to this service. To penetrate the tight security at Crawford, it would have been necessary for extraordinary measures to be taken for the intended outcome to be achieved. Now, I'm going to pause here just for a moment and remind the listeners that if you had seen the movie The Godfather, Vito Corleone, having attempted through his attorney to get the attention of one Hollywood film producer to do a favor and get an Italian singer a movie contract, was rejected several times, and as a final warning, the horse head was put in his bed. Of course, he woke up to this horrific scene, and evidently someone had mirrored this. Now, if this story is true, I'm sure that that was quite a shock to the president. Back to the article, Russia is, of course, one of the countries that has required payment under the overall financial settlement, which Paulson, Bush Jr. et al. Had been blocking. It is believed that the horse's head incident occurred after the shooting of Paulson. It may have reflected retaliation against purported threats against the life of President Putin, the president of the GRU. Bush Sr. and Clinton blackmailed President Bush Jr. It was also reported to us by a very high-level source on the 21st December that both Bush Sr. and former President Clinton had been blackmailing President George Bush Jr. in a further escalation of the rats-in-a-sack syndrome. Rats concentrate exclusively on eating the disgusting food that is before them and on nothing else, with no forward-thinking in evidence. The very pattern, in fact, of the criminal behavior that we have been describing since June 2006. And I point that June 2006 is the date that these payments of $4.5 trillion was due to be deposited into the Ameritrust Group, Inc. account of Ambassador Lee Iwanta. Arson attack on Bush family property in Odessa, Texas. Separately, the Midland Reporter-Telegram filed a report on 28 December 2007 that a fire was reported at 3:04 a.m. on Thursday, the 27th of December, at a property in Odessa, Texas, owned by the Bush family. According to Odessa Fire Marshal Dietra White, the Bush property was located at 4919 University Boulevard of the University of Texas of the Permian Basin campus. The property, which had been converted into a museum and document storage facility, is leased from the university. The wooden house was charred around the front door and the edges of the roof, with the front door, its surrounding area completely destroyed, and the attic severely degraded by fire. The rest of the property sustained extensive smoke and fire damage. The City of Odessa Public Information Coordinator, Andrea Goodson, and Dietra White told the newspaper that it had been determined that the fire was an arson attack and that an investigation was underway. A knowledgeable U.S. source questioned about this particular incident in the morning of 28th of December agreed without equivocation that high-level feuding was taking place, and that was before intelligence about the shootings became available. The initial basis for the outline detail of the Paulson shooting came from several separate U.S. intelligence sources, augmented by one European intelligence source who indicated the part of the body where Paulson was shot. The intelligence was updated to our satisfaction from multiple sources on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Speculation persists that President Bush Jr. himself may have ordered the assassination after Paulson used his blackmail card against the Bush family once too often. Obviously, this construction remains hypothetical at this point. Paulson was believed to be of Israeli origin or have had dual nationality and to possess an Israeli passport, his real first name being something other than Henry Paulson. Paulson is known to have conveyed a substantial sum of money illegally to Israel, presumably, though this is a deduction on the editor's part, in exchange for remuneration for safekeeping services. In an extraordinary twist, Mr. Paulson undertook to pay what the Israelis had demanded, but then reportedly double-crossed them, not a wise thing to do. Now, I want to digress just for a moment and point out to the listeners who haven't heard me report on this in the past, here on BBS or on any other internet radio show, it was reported that Secretary Paulson was arrested in Germany in relation to the Wanta settlement and his attempts to thwart it through Deutsche Bank in Germany. He was arrested in Germany and held for a couple of days there. It was also reported that there was a $350 million security contract put out to monitor his every move. And that was enforced by British intelligence. Now, I don't know whether that was MI5 or MI6. You can think of MI5 as the British version of the FBI and MI6 as their version of the CIA. But what we do know is that he was followed, or he was, let's say, accompanied by a rather large security force when he returned to attend President Ford's funeral last year. So, that said, I go back into Mr. Story's report. In an extraordinary twist, Mr. Paulson undertook to pay what the Israelis had demanded, but then reportedly double-crossed them. Not a wise thing to do. Separate Jewish sources with whom the editor discussed this aspect of the matter did not express surprise at the state of affairs. That may appear quite extraordinary to people who are not of Jewish extraction, but then it is well known that a state of near warfare exists within the Israeli intelligence community at a higher level of bitterness than also prevails in all the other key countries, given the lethal intensity of the subterranean intelligence war that is destroying civilization. Summary executions becoming routine, as in Stalin's Russia. The editor is quite naturally aghast at these developments. Treason tracks the death penalty, but although a bloodbath was anticipated in earlier reports in this series, for summary execution in this manner to be on the menu reminds us of all of Stalin's USSR. It is a fact, however, that Henry Paulson received, we are told, repeated warnings that he must immediately cease and desist from blocking the Wanta and country payments and from his blackmail threats. He paid no attention to any of these warnings. When told of these hideous developments on the 1st of January, Ambassador Lee Wanta was shocked. Now, the country payments, and I'm digressing from the article for a moment just to give you some background, are based upon the participation of all the different countries that assisted Ambassador Wanta in the process of amassing these huge sums. They were promised payments anywhere from $5 billion up to $30 billion. Specifically, the $30 billion was intended to go to Vladimir Putin. And these people, through all the false alarms that have occurred throughout the months beginning in June of 2006 and continuing all the way up to date, these people have been waiting in hotels in New York. Very recently, in fact, it's been reported that upon their anticipation of this final settlement with Ambassador Wanta, that they would be receiving their portions of the money. Of course, the payments did not occur. Citibank and J.P. Morgan Stanley were, again, up to no good, playing games with the funds. The money is being tracked on an international basis via four separate collective computer teams that are analyzing and backtracking transactions as many as 100 per transaction. So they know how to track this money, and they're finding out where the money has gone and who is involved, and people are being arrested. Now, on the other hand, the people that are involved, in order to silence them, have been taken out, if this is true, and we're going to be getting to some of these points in a moment here. Okay, now, Putin assassination rumors thought to be linked. And this is, I'm again reading the article. In parallel with these events, Kommersant News Service and... Now, you got to give me a second. Komsomolskaya Pravda, controlled by Russian intelligence, reported over the turn of the year that three Armenians armed with knives, pistols, and a saber were detained on the 23rd of December near the residence of GRU President Vladimirovich Putin in Novoogarevo. The Russian media sources stated that under interrogation, the Armenians had revealed that they were paid mercenaries of MI5 and had in their possession travel documents linking them to a recent visit to the Vatican, where they said they had been paid more than $1 million for their mission to assassinate the Russian president. This information is included here because sources believe that allegations of assassination threats against the Russian president are likely to be related to the crumbling of the criminalist facade of omerta, silence, that pre-Wantagate had hitherto prevented exposure of the scale of the fraudulent finance perpetrated by officials in collusion with the banks. Recently, a previously unknown figure with high Kremlin connections called Stanislav Belkovsky, who appears to enjoy a special license to criticize the top Russian leadership, alleged that Putin had amassed a fortune worth $40 billion during his 8 years in power, thanks inter alia to his purported ownership of a 37% stake in the oil exploration company in Surgut Neftegaz, a 4.5% stake in Gazprom, the state energy plant giant, and at least 50% of Gunvor, a Swiss-based oil trading firm that has won a series of Russian state contracts. Israelis holding two Americans hostage against payment. The Israelis are now holding two Americans hostage pending receipt of the payment that they say they are owed. We have no idea what sum of money is involved. On New Year's Eve, it was announced that President Bush would be traveling to the Middle East for 9 days. On inquiring what the purpose of this trip might be, we obtained from sources the following explanations. One, Bush Jr. will be traveling inter alia to Israel to settle up with the Israelis. Number two, Bush Jr. will be moving stolen money from locations such as Dubai and Iraq to various alternative locations where he may consider the funds would be safer. One of the locations falling into that category would be Israel. And I would also point out that there was a central bank robbery that occurred when we invaded Iraq the second time, and it's reported to be as extensive as $100 trillion. And a good hiding place for this money would also be the private ranch, the 98,840-acre ranch that Jenna Bush signed the papers on in Paraguay earlier in 2007. Payment to the country recipients who have been waiting patiently since we first encountered them at the time of the IMF World Bank annual meetings back in October 2007 was to have been effected before Christmas, and according to our sources, President Bush Jr. signed off on relevant documentation which was handed to Supreme Court justices, or black robes, on or about the 23rd December. Bush, too, then proceeded, as is his wont, to renegade on what he had signed. Now, the important background information on that, it sounds like we have a caller. I guess I can pause for a moment. Do we have a caller here? Hello, who is on the line? Do we have a caller on the line? Okay. Well, sorry for that interruption. Christopher Story was at the IMF World Bank annual meetings. There was a presentation given to the press in October of 2007, and he specifically asked the managing director of the Bank for International Settlements about the $4.5 trillion settlement to Ambassador Lewanta. And he basically denied knowing anything about it, which was absolutely ridiculous. Of course, Christopher Story got this on tape and printed it word for word. It is in his prior postings in relationship to the fact that they're covering this up on an international level. Then we also have the mysterious resignation of Paul Wolfowitz, the head of the World Bank, under the excuse that there was a conflict of interest with his girlfriend, and by the way, he is a married man, and Jewish, and had a an Arab girlfriend who he had given a job to with the bank and had given her a raise. And it caused quite a bit of controversy, and he ended up resigning. Of course, he had become somewhat of a lame duck, and they had to get someone else in there to continue this money laundering activity, which definitely is going on through the World Bank. Now, back to the article here. A payment to the country recipients who have been waiting patiently since we first encountered them at the time of the IMF World Bank annual meetings back in October 2007 was to have been effected before Christmas. And while Ambassador Wanta, I'm again digressing, while he was at Citibank earlier in December to receive the payments, which he was told by the State Department, the Treasury, and the Federal Reserve were awaiting his signature, he was thrown out of the bank. Boston Properties, that actually owns the bank, had called two armed police officers there to escort Wanta and his entourage out of the Citibank headquarters. It was later reported that George H.W. Bush was upstairs with the new Citibank director or managing director, who was Robert Rubin, a Clinton shill. And I guess it would have caused quite a bit of embarrassment to be caught up there at the time Ambassador Wanta was to have been paid. They tracked more money laundering at the time, and obviously this had been taken notice of by the Pentagon and the Department of Defense as well. There were stories at the time that there was a provost marshal in investigating this, making thousands of arrests. That's not been proven. It may have been disinformation that was actually put out there intentionally to embarrass author, reporter, journalist Christopher Story. Back to his article now. Bernanke and Chertoff thought to be next, sources say. It is thought that this latest setback was one of the extreme last-straw factors that prompted the drastic action that has been taken over the Christmas holidays, with, it is believed, more to come. We are quite seriously informed that high on the list of people purportedly thought to be in immediate danger of being shot at point-blank range, literally, are Dr. Ben Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, and Michael Chertoff, Secretary of Homeland Security. We merely report what we have been told, and in the context of the confirmed intelligence cited above, we regard this horrendous information as credible. Now, that's Christopher Story saying that, and I'm inclined to agree with him that it does appear that on the surface to be a correct report. Time will tell. And I would presume that if we get news about Secretary of the Treasury at all being in any demise, it would most likely be disinformation. For instance, we might hear that he's been taken to the hospital because of a heart attack, because of undue stress, because of what the strain of the economy is putting him through. Back to the article, the fire at the old executive office building. Now, this occurred a couple of weeks ago. At about 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday, 19th December, fire broke out in the old Eisenhower Executive Office Building close to the White House, an area that is largely blocked off to normal traffic. The D.C. Fire Department reported that the fire was brought under control within an hour. According to the fire department's website, the fire was said to have started in an electrical closet in Vice President Cheney's suite of ceremonial offices. Secret Service spokesman Darren Blackford said that the 19th century building located at 17th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue in Northwest Washington was evacuated as a precaution. Firefighters poured water onto the blaze, which should not be done in the case of an electrical fire, and moved furniture onto a balcony. D.C. Fire Department spokesman Alan Etter told NBC News that there is an adult male who is described to me as being a U.S. Marine who was known to have been on the fifth floor when the smoke began accumulating up in that area. He apparently had to use his hands to break out of a window on the fifth floor and then climb out onto the ledge. He suffered a laceration to his hand. He was treated at the scene and refused transportation to hospital. And I have to say, I can't blame him for not wanting to go to the hospital, knowing what they pull there. The mayor of Washington, Adrian Fenty, and the D.C. fire chief, Dennis Rubin, made it clear that national security concerns had made it impossible for them to reveal where and how the fire started, even though it had been reported that it had broken out and in the electrical closet. Yet the Secret Service took over the fire investigation after preventing Washington area fire investigators from entering the building, and almost at the same time stating that it had already concluded that the fire was not started deliberately. Neither was the fire said to be a terrorist attack. The mainstream media ignored the fire almost as soon as it had been featured on CNN. Of course, we report that nonstop on Evident Footprints and other shows that the mainstream media is just merely a propaganda tool. Cover 4 Special Forces operation to retrieve materials. Our own special deep sources confirm, however, that the fire was a distraction to provide cover for a Special Forces team that had been sent into the old Executive Office Building to retrieve sensitive materials needed for the massive investigations that are going on behind the scenes, about which naturally the editor has no information and cannot be expected to obtain any for obvious reasons. The Special Forces team was successful in obtaining the materials that it had been asked to procure. It is believed that the materials are related to the corruption crisis. The investigations were triggered inter alia when Ambassador Lee Wanta and his diplomatic colleagues were kicked out of Citibank's offices at 399 Park Avenue in Midtown, New York on the 20th November 2007, as previously reported. On that occasion, when George Bush Sr. was president with Robert Rubin in the bank's executive offices, Rubin ordered the owners of the building, Boston Properties, to have the ambassador and his colleagues removed from the premises under the watchful eye of 2 armed New York Police Department cops. That event was one of the factors that resulted in the entire crisis being ratcheted up several steep notches, although the momentum of events has, in any case, made the showdown and even the hideous bloodletting that we predicted seem inevitable for some time. 3 senior officials arrested on 22nd December. Sources further confirmed that 3 senior officials were arrested on the 22nd December and that further arrests were likely to follow. It is believed that these arrests refer to government officials, although we caution that this is yet to be confirmed. On 26th February 2007, 3 Special Forces teams had attempted to arrest Vice President Cheney aboard an aircraft that was parked on the tarmac at Sydney Airport, Australia. 3 deaths were reported on that occasion. Separately and contrary to U.S. disinformation that is circulating, the assassination of Benazir Bhutto has been confirmed by sources special to the service to have been a CIA-directed hit conducted by Special Forces. It is understood that Bhutto was intending to open discussions with representatives of the Taliban, but other factors not unconnected with the present crisis may also have been involved. By the way, a threefold increase in orders for U.S. military combat and basic training fatigue uniforms has been monitored by one of our impeccable sources. WANTA's funds illegally refused by Morgan Stanley. On Friday, 21st December, Ambassador Lee WANTA's stolen $4.5 trillion settlement funds were transferred out of Citibank to Morgan Stanley, which then refused to accept the funds. This was A, illegal, of course, because the relevant securities account for Ameritrust Group, Inc. has existed with Morgan Stanley, New York, since August 2006, and B, a fraudulent ruse apparently masterminded by John Mack, the Morgan Stanley CEO, in apparent collusion with Rubin, Paulson, and Bush Sr. to split and steal the funds. The fraud was a variation of Paulson's old gimmick of placing himself in a position ostensibly to be able to claim that the funds had been paid over via Treasury Direct and that what had happened to them thereafter was nothing to do with him. Morgan Stanley's action in rejecting WANTA's remittance contrasted with its ready acceptance, as reported earlier, of the funds into a fake account in a name similar to that of Ameritrust Group, Inc., especially fabricated for the purpose back in November. When the funds were poured into a fabricated account, Morgan Stanley had no problem accepting them. When they were paid into the real account, they suddenly had a problem. The securities house made a serious mistake. Pentagon team stationed at Citibank during the holidays. A Department of Defense Internal Affairs team was reported to be present at Citibank's offices during the holiday period, ready to arrest anyone complicit with obstructing the country's payments and those inter alia of Ambassador WANTA. A separate report was received from the highest level sources on the 21st of December that a further attempt was made on that date to steal colossal amounts of money, but the editor is not sure whether that separately reported attempt theft was part of the same package of duplicity referenced immediately above. Now, there's a little bit more to this article. The problem here for these folks, and I'm going to digress because I've got another news story that I must share in a moment here. The problem with these funds is that we now are in a state where the Basel II Accord has been initiated, and this has actually occurred as of December 2007. All the international funds, all these stock accounts that have an international flavor to them, and the offshore accounts and the international banking, all is required to be above board and on the record. And all of these transactions that we have been reading about here, or I have been reading to you and you've been listening to, are based upon the transactions that are on the duplicated or the mirrored funds. It's a Leninist strategy to duplicate what you're doing elsewhere, and therefore it makes it difficult to track what's really going on. A perfect example is NASA's use of the Kennedy Space Center, formerly Cape Canaveral, to launch rockets, maybe shuttles or satellites or whatever, and at the same time there's a mirrored launch going on at Edwards Air Force Base on the West Coast. And no one really hears about that because everyone's focus and attention is on what's going on at the Kennedy Space Center. And they make sure that the media covers that. So they keep our attention focused on what they want us to see. This is why we're not hearing about WantaGate and we're hearing about Britney Spears. We're hearing about the election caucuses, but I would submit that the most likely reason we have so many candidates running is it keeps everybody's attention on their favorite flavored candidate. And I'll use that term intentionally. They've got people from all walks of life and every possible political slant that you can imagine running for president. Although they know that they don't have a chance, they're doing the bidding of the powers that be, the shadow government, so that they can keep the wraps on this story that we're reporting today. Now, I urge anyone really to go to worldreports.org. Again, that's www.worldreports.org, and read up on Wantagate, read up on what is happening in real time. Also, you can go to my website, directlightproductions.com, and I have these stories posted there. It's in a slightly different format, but you can also listen to archives of the radio shows and see quite a bit of other information that I have posted on that site. Now, the second story, and unfortunately, I take no pleasure in hearing about anyone's passing, but it was reported this afternoon, around noontime, I received the report, and we have a 5-hour difference with British time on the East Coast of the United States. It was reported that Henry M. Paulson, the Secretary of the United States Treasury, died today from gunshot wounds suffered as described in the previous report I just read. The State Department have confirmed this to sources in touch with this service, meaning ChristopherStoriesWorldReports.org. Mr. Story goes on to say, "We do not know, and it may never be known, whether Paulson was shot dead in the course of duty, given that he had continually committed gross treason in time of war and had repeatedly, we are informed, been warned of the consequences if he did not cease and desist." Well, Mr. Story goes on to say, and validly, "Christians are supposed to pray for their enemies, so a fervent prayer for Paulson and his family is in order right now, given the terrible state of affairs that arose due to this man's intransigence. Pardon me. It should be added, in the interest of justice, that although Paulson committed the financial crimes described in these Wantagate reports with great arrogance, it is also the case that he did these things at the urging of and in collusion with the Bush crime family, as every informed observer is well aware. It is also reported to us that following our revelation in the latest report that Benazir Bhutto was assassinated by a CIA-controlled Special Forces team, Scotland Yard is investigating her murder. The text of this report is left unaltered from the text that was posted overnight in the early hours of the 2nd of January, British time. Account should be taken of the fact that Paulson has died." And then Christopher Story asks anyone to refer to his website, again, www.worldreports.org, for the complete report. Now, I would then entertain calls from any of the listeners that want to make a comment or have a question. I'll give out the numbers quickly here. I will take calls. This is about a 55-minute show. We've got another 7 minutes or so. You can call in toll-free at 888-228-4494 in the U.S. and Canada, or you can call a worldwide toll-free 877-489-6350. And we have three direct lines, 530 area code. We have 776-5154, 776-5185, and 876-9916. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that I am capable of answering. Now, I've received calls and email, people asking, is this really true? Is this really going on? Well, by the preponderance of evidence, we know something is up. I had heard from a couple of people that there may have been something going on in Washington, and we didn't have much information until this report from Christopher Story came out, but it seems to be adding up that there were reports of shooting going on, and several people made the comment that the fan was turned on high. So if you're throwing things at the fan when it's on high, obviously it's going in every direction. What are the implications for this on the American people? Well, it's obvious that if we have a government and this corruption, and this is known also by the Senate and the Congress that this is going on, If this is condoned and permitted and the media is not reporting it, then the media has been instructed not to report it, number one. The Senate and the House of Representatives have also been told to keep their mouths shut about it. We have, and I say we, many people in the know have written or made phone calls to our representatives in Washington, D.C., and of course they choose to do nothing about it, which shows that they have either been compromised through bribery, threats, intimidation, blackmail, and what other means they use to control these people. The fact that this is going on is supported by substantial documentation. Christopher Story has devoted three issues of the International Currency Review to this story, as well as written a book, The New Underworld Order, Triumph of Criminalism, Dark Actors Playing Games. And it's a remarkable piece of research. It's a connect-the-dot type of book, and I have to say my own research technique is one of connect-the-dots. I mean, there is so much happening out there, you have to be able to connect the dots to make sense of what's going on. Again, I remind the listeners that it's not my intention nor BBSRadio.com's intention to put out disinformation. Mr. Story does a thorough job of trying to verify the facts behind what he reports. More often than not, he is correct, and I really can't think of too many instances where he has been given disinformation. Of course, this is of the gravest consequences for these people to get caught, to be found out, and it's quite possible that this could be just a ruse. So it's not my intention to waste your time with this information, but we should be discerning, and we should also be awake and aware and looking at what's going on around us. Again, to answer the people who ask why it's not in the media, if it was true, it would be reported in the media. I again remind you, no, it would not be reported in the media because they don't want us to know the truth. It's a simple fact. If the media is lying to us, if they've been compromised, or they are the propaganda machine for the powers that be, then why do you expect them to all of a sudden tell you the truth about what they're doing? It's not going to happen. So we have to rely on other sources or other resources, and that's the beauty of the Internet, and that's the beauty of our freedom of speech, as well as the email. Mr. Story has quite an extensive list, and when he sends these emails out, they go out all over the world, millions of copies. What is atrocious to me is the fact that we are so under the domination of the propaganda machine that we do not get this material. We do not get this news only through these established contacts that a few of us have, those of us who are in journalism, for example, and do a lot of research. You eventually discover that there's someone out there that's actually reporting the truth. And I did air this story last night on BBS Radio, on the Evident Footprints show. And I say last night, it was 1 o'clock Eastern time in the morning on the East Coast, 10 o'clock p.m., on New Year's Day, and to my knowledge, that was the first broadcast of this story on any airwaves. Now, again, I have to thank Christopher Story and his worldreports.org for sending the information, alerting us to the fact that he was about to post it on the website, which he did a couple hours afterward. And it was in the early morning hours that this came out, so he most likely had been up all night working on this story. So I just want to make that point clear to the listeners. And again, we have not confirmed these things. The mainstream media is not going to be the means through which to do it. But don't be surprised if you hear that Secretary Paulson passed away due to a heart attack. or a car accident or a plane crash. And it's already been reported that he had been shot. As far as anyone else and the threats that are being made against other people, this is a vicious scenario here. These people are fighting over trillions of dollars, which really should be in our treasury. It should be being used to keep people in their homes, and it's unconscionable to me and many others that 2 million families are about to be thrown out on the street over financial crimes committed by the central banks. This is going to backfire on them. In fact, I made this prediction on my New Year's Eve show. I said in 2008, very early on, this Wantagate story was going to pick up dramatically, and it's sort of a prophetic statement. In fact, I got indication how accurate that statement was 22 and one half hours later via email. And so I didn't hesitate to put it on the air yesterday, and I felt it was an important enough topic to share the whole TNT news hour. And with that, we are out of time. I want to thank my producer, my executive producer, Mr. Donald Newsom, for his wonderful audio and the attention he gave my show last night. By all means, check out those websites. Again, www.worldreports.org to read Christopher Story's accounts of Wantagate, and I also have them posted, the same stories, unedited, in a slightly different format, though, on DirectLightProductions.com. And be sure to be listening tomorrow at the same time for the Trusted News Hour on BBSRadio.com. Have a nice day, and I'll see you all tonight on Evident Footprints. Good afternoon.